This is your WLAK Daily News Roundup for Lake Air, 107.5 FM and 1260 AM in Amory.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin will require farmers to test lactating dairy cows for influenza A before taking them to fairs or other exhibitions starting on the 19th. It's part of the government's attempt to contain the bird flu that's been spreading in dairy herds in other states, including Iowa, Minnesota, and Michigan. Wisconsin ranks number 11 in the nation for kids' well-being. That's according to the annual Annie E. Casey Foundation Kids Count data book. Wisconsin's child poverty rate is down, but Emily Miota of the group Kids Forward says disparities persist.
Wisconsin remains the worst state in the nation for Black children and families.
Black children in Wisconsin are 29 times more likely to live in high poverty areas, and they're not doing well on reading tests. Absenteeism is a problem, too. The Casey Foundation's Leslie Bossier says it's been the same story over the data book's 35 years.
We've never seen a significant percentage of children who were either proficient in fourth grade reading or basic math.
Wisconsin advocates want more public school funding and more Black teachers. Tourists spent a record amount of money in Wisconsin last year, $25 billion according to Travel Wisconsin. About 46 million people from out of state spent the night in Wisconsin last year. Overnight visitors spend about three times as much money as other tourists. Who wins the race for president could come down to a few independent voters in Wisconsin. UW political scientist Barry Burden.
They skew especially young. So it's young people who are least likely to have attachments to either of the parties, who are not fond of either of the candidates, and who have not bought into the traditional ways of doing politics.
And Susan Webb-Yockey of the La Follette School of Public Affairs says young voters in particular are dismayed about the cost of housing.
I can't afford the American dream, right? And you're trying to sell that to young folks in America and sell your vision of tomorrow, and you can't afford the American dream.
The two spoke at a WISP Politics luncheon yesterday. Wisconsin is gearing up for what should be another expensive state Supreme Court race. Campaigns and outside groups spent $45 million last year, the costliest state Supreme Court race in American history. Conservative Brad Schimmel and liberal Susan Crawford are running next year. A former attorney for Donald Trump is removed from a state committee that advises Wisconsin judges. The state Supreme Court is suspending Jim Troupas temporarily from the Wisconsin Court System's Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee. Troupas and two others are charged with felonies in the 2020 Republican fake elector scheme. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. An active police situation ended with no incident in Duluth's Lincoln Park neighborhood on Tuesday. According to the Duluth Police Department, officers attempted to conduct a welfare check on a woman in the area of Michigan Avenue and Restromel Street, but the woman refused to leave the home. Authorities brought in crisis negotiators and asked residents in the area to avoid the home as they conducted their work. The woman eventually agreed to leave the home and was taken for a mental health evaluation. The former Ascensia Health St. Mary's Medical Center in Duluth will soon be no more as crews prepare for its demolition. According to Ascensia Health officials, the organization has received about $11 million in state bonds to demolish the site as they prepare for a greater downtown use of the site. Officials are hoping that the site will soon be used as the new University of Minnesota Medical School's Duluth location. The bulk of work on the site will begin in July, and it should take about 12 to 16 months to wrap up. The City of Duluth Workforce Development has received grant funding to pilot solutions to get young people out of homelessness. According to a WDIO report, the grant funding comes from an organization called Youth Prize, which aims to promote the successful transition of young adults experiencing homelessness to a more safe and secure adulthood. Participants in the program will receive youth-directed services and cash stipends to support housing stability, provide job training and education, and encourage entrepreneurship. Lake Superior College will be hosting a variety of summer camps for area students, including a Gen Cyber Camp for students in the STEM field. According to a Northern News Now report, the program will allow middle school and high school age students the chance to get hands-on experience with things like building a PC, programming, mobile app creation, and some cybersecurity. The program is run by graduates and alumni, allowing them to give back to students who are interested in developing the same skills. The Barron County Sheriff's Department rescued two kayakers that had overturned near the Makana Dam on Sunday afternoon. According to a press release from the department, the two kayakers were found hanging onto a tree just after noon, trying to resist the heavy current from the dam, and officers were able to use rescue ropes to bring the people back to shore safely. Both people were treated and released at the scene of the rescue, and authorities later recovered both of their missing kayaks downstream. A new addiction recovery house opened earlier this week in Superior. According to a WDIO report, the Highlands Restoration and Wellness Home opened its doors on Monday, hoping to provide women struggling with addiction with a cozy, home-like environment in which to seek treatment. Women will be allowed to stay at the house for anywhere from 3 months to a full year, and the recovery house will offer mental health and substance abuse programming. The home will have room for 16 clients at a time. Nurses at Ascentia Health's 3rd Street Clinic and Patient Flow Hospital in Duluth have announced plans to vote on joining the Minnesota Nurses Association. Nurses at the 3rd Street Clinic are the latest in a string of Ascentia locations that have voted to unionize, saying they want a seat at the table to improve working conditions, get fair wages and benefits, and help decide how care is provided to their patients. Ascentia officials say they support the nurses' right to unionize, but believe they should work directly with hospital leadership. The Duluth City Council has approved a $600,000 settlement regarding an officer-involved shooting in 2020. According to a Northern News Now report, officers responded to reports of a domestic situation when Officer Tyler Liebfried fired several shots through the door, claiming self-defense after hearing two loud bangs. One of the shots hit Jared File in the shoulder, leading him to sue the city for misconduct. Officers were unable to confirm that there actually was a domestic situation. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers debut another rookie pitcher. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Toronto Blue Jays playing this afternoon at AmFam Field. We'll have a recap after the game. Last night, the Crew losing 3-0. Because of all the injuries, another Brewers rookie making his major league debut, Carlos Rodriguez, age 22, gave up a couple of runs. He lasted until the fourth inning. How'd he look? Manager Pat Murphy.
He was great. You know, I'm really pleased. I thought he threw the ball well. I thought he showed tremendous poise. Yeah, I was very pleased with what I saw. 22-year-old kid come out there and do what he did. Gets a really good lineup. I thought he handled himself very, very well. Didn't seem like a rookie at all. Didn't seem like, you know, first-timer. I was encouraged.
NFL, the Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says they hope to have a new contract for Jordan Love done by next month. I asked Love if that's true.
Yeah, I think they should. I mean, just what he said.
And that's that?
That's that. Keep it short, yeah. There it is.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. In reality TV pseudo-news, the mysterious or not disappearance of Bachelorette alum Trista Sutter has been explained. She was taking part in another reality show called Special Forces World's Toughest Test, a show that puts celebrities through Special Forces training, according to TMZ. Some reality fans clamoring for drama to distract themselves from their own lives thought she'd died. Nope, she is alive and well and part of another yawn, quote, reality show, end quote. People magazine reports that Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck have quietly put their $61 million Beverly Hills mansion up for sale. The mansion has almost 40,000 square feet, 12 bedrooms, and 24 bathrooms, a 12-car garage, and a huge gym. People also reports that the news of the home hitting the market comes 1 week after Lopez canceled her North American tour. Initial speculation was she was just going to invite all her fans to the house, since it had more bathrooms than most concert venues. Here's one of Pete's picks. Check out The Last Stop in Yuma County on Amazon Prime. The film is set in Arizona and starts when a knife salesman pulls into a gas station that is out of gas and waiting for a tanker. While waiting at the diner next door, two bank robbers show up as well as a handful of other locals. The film is full of tension and has no big stars, which makes it easy to lose yourself in the story. It will also surprise you more than once. The Last Stop in Yuma County received 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Hollywood legend Elizabeth Taylor says her marriage to Eddie Fisher was one big friggin' awful mistake. Fisher must have felt that sting from beyond the grave. The New York Post reports that the quote came from a new documentary called Elizabeth Taylor, The Lost Tapes. Taylor also says husband Michael Wilding wasn't dominant enough. That sounds like one explicit documentary, even though she actually used the word friggin'. The Daytime Emmy Awards took place June 8th, and history was made when Dick Van Dyke won an Emmy for an appearance on Days of Our Lives. At 98 years old, the legendary performer is the oldest actor ever to be nominated or win a Daytime Emmy. Kelly Clarkson took home a Daytime Emmy Award for talk series for her show, The Kelly Clarkson Show. Her show received 8 nominations, the most in the category. America is bananas over Kelly Clarkson. Soap opera General Hospital was nominated 11 times and brought home 4 awards for daytime drama series. Best actress in a lead performance for a daytime drama series went to Michelle Stafford, who won her 3rd Outstanding Actress Award. She plays Phyllis Summers on The Young and the Restless. The Bold and the Beautiful's Thorsten Kay took home his 2nd consecutive daytime Emmy for Outstanding Actor as Ridge Forrester. Damn, I wish I had a cool soap name like that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly sunny, with highs in the mid-80s. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms, a low of 64. For Thursday, sunshine and near 80 degrees. Sunny upper 70s on your Friday. Saturday, storms and 76.
It's 64 at our studios.
That's your WLAK Daily News Roundup from Civic Media. Subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you find your podcasts. Find more news at lakeair.radio.